The athletic director, Larry Lyons. How you doing, Larry?
Great. Good morning, gentlemen.
Oh, come on.
You
don't sound great.
You know,
sound...
I'm on my second week of a head cold. I just can't get rid of the darn
man.
Thing. But you know what? I'm fabulous. How's everybody?
I'm just okay.
How you doing? Great.
That's great. I'm just okay. All right. One tournament out of the way here. Now you're busy with the women's basketball tournament in the Quad Cities.
Quad Cities. Quad Cities is... the second location of a neutral site for the women's tournament, and they have seemed to embrace it pretty well at the Tax Slayer Center up in the Quad Cities in beautiful downtown Moline.
You sure that's the name? Because it changes every 5 minutes.
Well, it's it is Tax Slayer. Okay. Yeah, is it, used to be iWireless. Now it's Tax Slayer.
All right, but that's I've got Tax Slayer right there.
That starts on Thursday, and the good news is Kristen and her bunch. Did a great job. So proud of her and her staff and her team. They battled and ended up with the sixth seed, which was above where they were projected to be. And so we're not playing until Friday at 8:30.
That's cool.
That is cool.
That's cool. Going up against number three, UNI. Help me out. How did they play?
We ended up losing both games to UNI. Though we have progressively gotten better as the year goes on. So. I'm confident that we've got a real chance to win this game at 8:30 on Friday.
Yep, 8:30 game Friday, and I imagine if you want to go over there now and sit with Redbird fans, that shouldn't be a problem.
Shouldn't be a problem. There are tickets available. We'll have a block of tickets. It's basically general admission, though there are reserved seats, but the building's big enough that that you'll be able to get in pretty easily and watch the game.
Now, will you be going to the Quad Cities?
I head up there on Thursday afternoon. They do their awards between the two Thursday games. They're all conference and coach of the year. And we'll have some ladies that are going to receive some awards, so we'll get up there in time for that on Thursday.
Awesome. And now, when's the last time you were in the Quad Cities?
Last year at
the tournament.
Do
you have a favorite place to go? You know, St. Louis, we all have our favorite places to go. Anymore, it's just across the street.
I can't remember the name. I found a great little diner in Davenport. We had breakfast
just
one
like
morning.
A mom and pop.
Just a mom and pop diner place. It was fabulous. We've played on Thursday night the last couple of years, so finding a dinner place. You know, you go to the pregame event, then you go to the game, and it hasn't been as conducive to hanging around and finding some spots. The little pub where we do our pregame is kind of nice. The Union at 525, we've been there for the last several years. It's a nice little spot, a couple blocks away from the Tax Slayer Center. So,
all right.
I'm going to try and get out the Deer Run for lunch on Friday. I want to run out there and see it.
Have you ever played?
Well, I've not played the whole thing. Remember, we've hosted the Missouri Valley Men's Golf Championship there five or six times in the late spring. So I've been there a lot, but I thought I'd run out there and, it's something a little different to do.
All right. Let's see here. So that's going on this weekend. Mm-hmm. In the Quad Cities in Moline. Have you ever tried one of the, what's the ice cream?
Whitey's
ice cream? Oh, there you go.
Well, we'd make a Whitey's run when we were up there for the golf tournament. Oh, you have to have a Whitey's if you're in Quad Cities. It's awesome.
All right. Let's see here. You've got tennis, you've got swimming and diving going on right now, and track along with gymnastics. Let's talk about track. I know you wanted to.
Track, what a great story. Jeff Bovey, our head coach, the director of track for both the men's and women's programs, has done a tremendous job of recruiting. Recruiting track's hard. It's like recruiting football. You have a bunch of positions you need to fill. You've got sprinters. You've got multi-event athletes. You have throwers. You have middle distance. You have distance. And you've got to cover cross country, then indoor track and outdoor track. And he's done a tremendous job of realigning his rosters on both the men's and women's side. And it all came together up in northern Iowa this year, and we won the men's championship and the women's indoor championships.
Well, how about that?
That's just that's hard to do to win them both. He's done a just tremendous job. His assistant coaches have done a great job. And then we've got three kids going to nationals who are – highly ranked. Jeff is coach of the year for the tournament, and then he was regional coach of the year in the track world, and Brenton Emanuel, who's our sprint coach, was the regional assistant coach of the year because we have two hurdlers and a sprinter going to the Nationals this weekend down at Texas A&M.
Wow.
And one of the kids is ranked third in the country.
Really?
Well, Jalen McConico is a 60-meter hurdler guy. He's ranked third in the country. And then a football player. He was recruited to be football, wide receiver, and a hurdler. He's also there, Kendry Patterson, and he's ranked 12th or 11th or 12th in the country. We've got a chance to get two All-Americans out of that one race. And then Darius Rogers, who was an All-American last year in the 60-meter dash, he is back, and he's ranked 6th in the country. It's unbelievable.
60 meters, how many yards is that?
Well, it's 39 inches is a meter, so it's 3 inches longer than a yard. So it's
no, my head just exploded.
Yeah.
We used to run the 100-yard dash, Larry, back at PTHS.
That's right. I tell kids I ran the half mile, and they look at me like, what the heck? It's 800 meters.
Yeah. Ran the half mile, quarter mile.
Yeah.
And now when you ran the half mile, we were just talking about this the other day. When you ran the half mile, did you kind of pace yourself for the first three quarters of the race and then just kick in?
Well, unless you got somebody really fast in front of you, you can't do that. But I remember is we ran on that cinder track.
Yeah.
And that inside lane early in the spring was just slop.
Yeah.
So if you were not in first, you were just getting pummeled with dirt and cinders and snow and everything.
Well, tell me more, Grandpa. Was the pole vaulting pit sawdust?
Yeah, might have been. The high jump pit was, that's for sure.
All right. So, hey, with all these stars on the track team, nationally ranked.
The men's team is.
We looking at possible Olympians? I mean.
Well, you know what? Down the road, I think
the
sprinters have a chance. Yeah. There's no question about that. It's pretty neat. And then J.D. Lafayette, a local kid, won the 800, and he was named the Elite 17, which is the highest academic achieving individual in the championship for on the men's side. So that's kind of neat. J.D.'s won it a couple times now.
Have you seen him run the 800? Is it a sprint?
It's fast.
It's just a sprint.
It's a sprint. Yeah, you just don't. Yeah, you just and that one. I think the 400's hard. I think the 800's the killer because it's twice, and when I say 400, when you're looking at a traditional track, you know, they run I think Northern Iowa's 200 meter, so that's four times. That's a hard one.
I have a ponderable for you.
Okay.
Why do we still go with meters in track, but we still have, or we go with meters in track, but yards in golf?
Well, you know, if you watch the European, it's meters. European, if you watch the Golf Channel, just the United States is still yards.
Yeah.
We haven't switched over to the completely metric system.
Remember when we were running on the cinders? That was going to be the thing? We were all going to go to the metric system.
It didn't happen. Right.
All right. Let's see here. Let's talk about, I don't know, I need a weather forecast for a week from yesterday. ISU hosting Illinois at Duffy Bass.
Yes.
Let's hope for great weather.
That'd we need
be
great
a nice
weather.
Experience.
That'd be, it's, you know, it's a fun game. We usually, you know, that's a packed stuff to Duff usually. It's going to be earlier this year, so we need some great weather at the end of, when they get back home from their spring trip, we need some great weather. So we go outside. And like this stuff we're getting here where we got white stuff in the grass.
That's good.
Come on. It's supposed to, you know, after the Missouri Valley men's basketball tournament, it's supposed to start getting nicer.
Yeah. When you were running track, I was playing baseball at Pontiac.
Mm-hmm.
And you might get 3 days all year. Right. You had nice weather here. Mm-hmm. It's just so frustrating. I lobby for fall baseball.
Or just go play it in the summer. But
you're not going to do that in college, though.
No.
All right. So, and by the way, we should mention, too, that ISU Illinois game next, or 2 weeks from yesterday on the 20th. You go vote and then you go to the baseball game.
Right.
It's free admission.
Free admission.
All season long.
Yeah. That's, you know, the Freebirds program has gone very, very well in terms of family involvement. Just, you know, if you can stop by and see a couple innings, come and see a couple innings. You know, it's baseball, softball, soccer. Gymnastics. We'll have a track meet in the spring to support those sports. It's about attendance. It's not about making a couple of bucks on a turnstile. So come out and have a good time and enjoy enjoy some Redbird spring events.
And it's a beautiful ballpark.
And it's an awesome ballpark.
I love going there. All right. Question from some ISU fans they wanted me to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
They were down. They go every year to the tournament down in St. Louis. And in years past, Wichita State has the biggest crowd. And taking up a lot of the seats. Well, this year it was Illinois State had the biggest crowd, but they weren't happy with the way the seating worked out. They weren't happy with their seats. They thought with ISU, with drawing more people, they would have a better selection of seats. What's the answer to that?
Well, every school has a minimum number of all-session tickets they're supposed to purchase. And they allocate seats so that everybody has a chunk, that minimum number, in what they call a primary. So they'll stack teams. So where Illinois State was, which was behind the bench, there was a team behind us. And then we'll say the home team, we were the visiting team bench, we'll say. The home team bench had Loyola and a team behind them. And across the way, there were six other schools that were stacked, three on each side. The center sections are for their sponsors who support the tournament. So if you have a big crowd, then you've got to start wrapping into the end zone,
and that's where where these guys were.
That's what if you remember. Now Wichita's brought great crowds the last 5 or 6 years. They used to not draw flies,
really,
when they were playing on Thursday, and that's fairly typical on Thursday. It's a little tougher to get people to come down. But as they got better and they had more people come, then they started wrapping into the end zone. Creighton did the same thing. Well, that's what happened to us. We wrapped in the end zone. The Valley then tries to do a little bit of guess at who might be there on Sunday. So that behind the benches, because of television cameras, you've got people sitting there. The other thing that they do is they put what they call their VIP seats, which would be in front of the ISU and the Loyola sections, where there's seats assigned to each team, so you have somebody behind your bench for your game. Well, those tickets were taken in front of us, too. So the way the Valley is very happy the way they do it. Most of the schools are very happy the way they do it. Illinois State has suggested different seating models that different conferences use on a regular basis. We're one vote, and we don't seem to have enough support in the room to make any changes, though we will bring it up again. Is that a good answer?
Yeah, float them some money under the table.
Well, no, can't do
that. That'd be an NCAA violation?
I don't know if it's a violation, but
all right.
That's not how the business is.
So
done, we'll bring it up again.
And, I said this the other day, we wish Loyola and Porter Moser the best of luck.
Yeah,
representing the Valley.
Yeah, you want the Valley teams to go and do very, very well, because ultimately,
well, we really didn't want Wichita. We were kind of it was one of those deals where
now
it's
becomes about units, and then it becomes revenue down the road.
Yeah.
So you have to as much as you're anxious about that. You want Valley teams to do well and win games and earn units. Though that's going to change the dynamic a little bit, I need to say, and it's going to complicate maybe for the listeners. The NCAA, when they extended the basketball contract, decided that they were going to change how they allocated the new money in the basketball contract. And the new money is going to be allocated in future years based on an academic component, not participation in the tournament. There will still be the participation units, but as the contract goes out in length, the academic units will equal or exceed what now is being earned in the basketball units. And we have in our league a better chance to earn more academic units than we ever would earn in actual game units. So the dynamic is changing. So
that's good news for
that's absolutely good news for people who are one bid leagues or whatever. I mean, it's a much more fair way. You know what? It kind of makes sense. Let's do this on an academic nexus kind of a thing. So that's coming down the road.
All right. Being an athletic director at a university, such as you are at Illinois State University, your thoughts on what went down a couple of weeks ago with the FBI tapes, with some shenanigans going on, and the $100,000 being tossed around here to lure a player to a school.
Well,
you surprised by that?
No, I'm not surprised. That's been going on or something similar to that's been going on for years. And it's in the primarily in the men's basketball world. you know, there's a code among coaches that they don't tattle on each other, which I wish that would change because the coaches know what's going on. But, it's developed over time. And it's really only involving the top 100 kids because they're the ones that have the most likelihood or the most projectable to go to the next level. So there's that black market, if I can use that term, mm-hmm. where there's AAU or advisors, and now the shoe companies are involved, and they're trying to find ways to steer kids to shoe companies and to agents, and then those get steered to different schools. Part of it's the one and done thing, or the NBA not allowing like a minor leagues for some of those kids. There's not a good answer. What's most frustrating to me is we all get painted with the same broad brush. That's not happening in Illinois State or a vast majority of the schools. If you're not recruiting that level of kid, which you can't because they're not going to listen to the vast majority, don't paint us with that broad brush. I mean, is men's basketball a mess? Absolutely. Does it need to be fixed? Absolutely. But we're not all a bunch of crooks running around out there. College basketball is still a wonderful sport. And there's value to advertisers for that. That NCAA tournament's about Cinderella. Ultimately, a blue blood might win the darn thing, but it's about the first couple weeks and the upsets and that mm-hmm. kind of thing. That's what's good about college basketball and, you know, the local interest and those kinds of things. So hopefully we can get this figured out and get men's basketball cleaned up. And remember, it's still about educating students. It's still about getting a degree because it's just a small number go on and play pro. There's only a Paul DeJong in baseball, very, very selectively at most places.
Thanks for dropping that name. How about that?
How about that? He texted me back this morning. It took him 2 days. I imagine his phone just got blown up.
What, did you ask him for money?
No. Down the road, we probably
will. I was going to say, yeah, give it a, you know, it's gotta be a little
break
there.
Let's give the kid a chance. Let the ink dry, for crying out loud. How cool is that?
That's awesome.
You know, and if Brock Stewart has a good year, there's a chance. You know, Ryan Court is playing well in the Cubs camp.
Didn't he just jack one out yesterday or 2 days ago?
You know, that is so neat that these kids who flew under the radar have developed into professional athletes. You know, it doesn't happen very often. You know, it happens at schools all over the country. And that's what's neat about college sports, that a Paul DeJong can walk on to an Illinois State, get a degree in biochemistry, and now he's playing shortstop for the Cardinals. How cool is that?
Yeah.
And then you get the cesspool in men's basketball that's very small number gives us all a black eye. Let's talk about the good stuff that happens. And it's, you know, the Olympians in track and swimming and, you know, the various other sports that we have, the really good stories that come out of college athletics, people that get degrees and do things the right way. We don't ever get to talk about that. That's why Paul DeJong is such a neat story. Yeah. We all should be proud of him.
I was excited for him after that deal.
Yep.
So
he's excited too.
He's good, yeah. Did you ask him what's the first thing you're going to buy, first crazy thing?
No, I'll go down and see him one or two times this summer and just, you know, you need to keep the lines of communication open, and you know, he'll probably, depending on what they do with the playoffs, we can hopefully get him back for a football game or a men's basketball game and let him wave to the crowd a little bit. You know, he's a great kid.
Cool. All right, Larry, good talking to you. Go Birds.
Good talking to you. Go Birds. Hopefully our women can have a nice little run and over in Moline. You know what? They've had such a great year. I don't want to say they've overachieved, but they've really bought in the Kristen system, her coaching style. You can see it, that the kids got better through the course of the year, and just very proud of where that program is.
I hear
going.
That all the time from coaches that are just coming into a mm-hmm. program. You got to convince these mm-hmm. athletes that this is going to work. Just do what I ask, and it'll
Porter,
work.
Porter said it at the Coach of the Year luncheon last Thursday in St. Louis. You recruit culture. If you want culture, and it's not a new idea, but you recruit to your culture. You got to find the kids that are going to buy into your culture. Well, she had to convince kids that this is what our culture is going to be. Now, she brought a couple of new kids in that helped, but what a great story that is, too.
All right, Larry. Good seeing you. We'll do it again next month.